Thanks for being with us today. We're glad that we can talk about some of these subjects that are part of our daily life, but which we didn't have, and one of them is pain. Nobody likes pain. Isn't that true?
That is so true, Doris. And I'm just thinking yesterday when you did the introduction, it made me think, well, everybody has a back that's a human being, So we better talk about back pain.
That's right, Lois, and I'm glad that you're here with us today. And also, we have Simon with us. And Simon, would you give us just kind of a quick little review about what we talked about yesterday on page 14 to talk about dealing with back pain?
Sure, and I'll be honest, yesterday's lesson was a little bit depressing because it was all about back pain, and we didn't really get into how to deal with the back pain. Mm. We're going to do that today. But yesterday we learned that this is actually really a very big problem. It's the second leading cause of disability in the United States, the fourth leading cause in the world. So a lot of people suffer from back pain. We also learned that there are kind of two types of back pain. The biggest type doctors call mechanical back pain, and that's sort of back pain that's caused by muscle problems or things that won't really last too long, maybe up to 12 weeks.
That's about 85%.
That's right. And then in a much smaller number of cases, there are very serious issues going on. And so the doctor that wrote this article actually said her main job is to rule out or sort of cross things off the list that are more serious causes. But we didn't get into how you actually treat or deal with this more common back pain yesterday. Though we did learn that there aren't very many effective treatments, even though there are all kinds of things people try to do.
That's a discouraging part, but let's find out if there's something we can do, because we have to do whatever we can to get over these problems, don't we?
That's right, and we want people to be able to function. And you can't really function very well if you have back pain all the time, whether it be what we discussed yesterday was acute or subacute. We don't want people to suffer that way, and we certainly don't want them to move into chronic back pain.
This can be a real disability. You can't go out and walk and run, and you say you want to exercise every day. It's pretty hard if you have a bad back.
Exactly. And some people really, truly get so disabled with it that they basically can't move. Well, we don't want any of our listeners suffering that way.
Oh, no, that's enough of the discouraging part. Let's get to the encouraging part. So let's look at page 15 today when we find what are the recommended treatments. What did the doctor say we should do? So let's try to do those so we don't have to suffer, don't you think?
I think that's a good idea.
So the whole column here talks about that. Let's read the first column on page 15. What are the recommended treatments?
What are the recommended treatments? Drugs are not part of the latest recommendations for treating mechanical back pain. What researchers found was surprising. For acute and subacute low back pain, the best and safest treatments are not medicines. The American College of Physicians made the following strong recommendation. Most patients with acute or subacute low back pain improve over time, regardless of treatment, and can avoid potentially harmful and costly treatments and tests. First-line therapy should include non-drug therapy, such as superficial heat, massage, acupuncture, or spinal manipulation. When non-drug therapy fails, consider NSAIDs, or skeletal muscle relaxants. Because most mechanical back pain improves no matter what, we don't want to prescribe treatment that can cause harm. Rather, we should be providing guidance on heating pad or hot water bottle use, and recommendations or referrals to acupuncturists, massage therapists, and chiropractors. These therapies were somewhat effective and are very unlikely to cause harm.
So the doctor begins here by telling us what the recommended treatments are, and some of our listeners might find this a little surprising, because one of the things that in the past doctors have done when you have back pain is they prescribe drugs that deal with the pain. But we learn here in the very first line that drugs are not part of the latest recommendations for treating mechanical back pain.
But that's what people seem to want, because I need to get over this pain. Give me a pill. Give me a shot.
When I read this first and second paragraph, I was actually very happy to hear that their first course of action is not prescription drugs or over-the-counter drugs.
Yeah, and there's a very clear reason for that, actually. They say researchers found that for acute and subacute low back pain, and again, that's back pain that's lasting up to 4 weeks or up to 12 weeks, the best and safest treatment was not medicine. And I think it's interesting that they're saying best and safest, not like that's one thing, but two different reasons that drugs aren't the best choice.
That's true. Now, sometimes if you go to a doctor, they will give you some kind of pills or medicine, but a lot of people don't even go to the doctor. They just go to the drugstore and say, I mean, I had this back pain and what's good, and then they sell them some kind of a drug, painkillers, and people get on those, and we say they get hooked on them. They take so many that they feel like they have to have them, and they get addicted to those. Isn't that true?
Yeah, that's true. We mentioned that yesterday. There's been a big problem lately in the United States with something called opioids. They call it the opioid crisis if you watch the news. And basically, that's a kind of pain-killing drug that people end up taking too much of because they're in pain all the time.
Right. And we hear the term a lot now, self-medicated, or people are self-medicating. Well, folks, you're not the authority on this. You don't really know about your back health, so you do have to see a professional.
So let's find out here what the American College of Physicians said. They made a very strong recommendation.
Yeah, and this recommendation actually deals with the idea that the drugs are not the best treatment. So what they say here is that most patients with this mechanical back pain will improve over time regardless of treatment. And so what that means is you're going to get better whether you take drugs or not. So the drugs aren't really making you better. They're just sort of making you more comfortable while you're getting better.
That's true. It says that over time, regardless of no matter what kind of treatment, that you can avoid these potentially harmful. Now, sometimes when things are not necessarily harmful, but they could be. So when we say potentially mean that could be harmful, and they certainly are costly.
Yes, they are. And we also know that we want to avoid something that's potentially harmful. And most of us want to avoid costly treatments and tests.
So first-line therapy. Now, what is first-line therapy, Simon?
Well, that's actually a really interesting word, because it basically means the thing you're doing first to try to solve a problem. But we usually hear that term when we're talking about, like, military things and war, like the first line of defense, right? And that really just means, like, the first response, the first thing you do to try to solve the problem or protect yourself.
And therapy just means, usually therapy includes doing something like exercises or doing something for you. But
right, we often think of that with physical therapy or physiotherapy.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You're actually involved in doing it yourself, not just the professional.
Yeah, and it really, I think therapy just means treatment,
right,
the thing doctors do to treat the problem.
So what should they include then?
Well, and they say, so the recommended first-line therapy, the thing that doctors should be doing first to try to treat back pain, is non-drug therapy. And then they give some examples of non-drug therapy. They say superficial heat.
Superficial heat, does that mean not just putting some hot water on it, right?
Well, it's interesting because usually when we say things are superficial, we kind of mean they don't really matter.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not really what the word means. You can see down in our vocabulary focus, it means only on the surface of something. And so if we describe something as being superficial, we might mean it's not a deep thing that really matters. But in this case, we literally just mean you're putting the heat on the surface of your skin.
Now, you can buy a lot of heat pads and things like that. Would those be superficial then or not?
I think so. You might also use like a hot water bottle or a
heating pad.
An electric blanket. Okay. You know, something like that. Yeah.
So that would be one thing. And then, of course, massage is always good, you know, to help on certain areas. I think it relieves the tension and the pain, doesn't
it? That's right. And then they go on to say acupuncture, and that, of course, is sort of a Chinese traditional medicine where they stick the needles in you at the different points, right?
We have chiropractors here. I would also mention
The spinal manipulation, is that a chiropractor?
Yeah, that's the chiropractor.
That's a chiropractor. I'd also mention that in some places you want to go see the physiotherapist or physical therapist that will help you. I know they've certainly helped me.
There's certainly a lot of good medical terms in this lesson here, but when non-drug therapy fails, then you consider what they call this NSAIDs, which is like Celebrex and things like that, right?
Yeah, so it tells us basically in our medical terms that this means non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs. And so steroids are a type of drug, a category of drug, and this kind of drug is a drug that takes away inflammation or swelling, but without using steroid drugs. A lot of people think of steroids as having some very negative side effects.
Well, like athletes often take steroids when they injure their knees and so forth. But according to most doctors, if you do it every few months, it's okay, but you can't do it too often, right?
That's right. So you don't want people coming to rely on these drugs, especially if their back pain goes on and becomes kind of chronic. And so they suggest these anti-inflammatory drugs or skeletal muscle relaxants. And those are drugs that are basically going to make your muscles relax.
And if your muscles relax, then their pain should be a little
less. It's much better, yeah. And you tend to, the spasms tend to either dissipate or, like, disappear. It's a good form of treatment.
So that whole paragraph there is talking about the things that you should do first, and you shouldn't just go and take pills first. That's what it says.
Yeah, and they give this reason here. They say, because most mechanical back pain improves no matter what, we don't want to prescribe treatment that can cause harm. And the thing they're suggesting there is that any time you take drugs, even if they're not very strong or serious drugs, there's always a risk of side effect or negative things happening. And so if you're going to get better even without the drug, they're just suggesting the doctor shouldn't take the risk of giving you any drugs if you're going to get better by yourself.
Well, so what can you do instead of that then? You use heating pads and hot water bottles and things?
That's right. And they also say, and recommendations or referrals, like we said before, from all these other professionals that deal with injuries or pain. I'd also say that this has been an experience with anybody I know with acute back pain, is the doctor will often say, you've got to go and rest for a week. Because
really?
Your back is so tight and so tense, and you're having all these painful muscle reactions. And
when you lie down and rest?
Yes, you lie down and rest. Mm. And he'll probably actually give you bed and floor exercises, but they don't want to get you addicted to prescription medication or over-the-counter medication.
Well, it's interesting how much that acupuncture has come into play for people being interested in it, because the acupuncturists don't give you medicine particularly, but they help relax those areas. And that's really helped a lot of people with pains in their back or their arms or whatever. So
yeah, that is interesting. I mean, even when I was growing up, Western medical doctors wouldn't really recommend what we would now call alternative medicines.
Right.
But there seems to be a much more openness to those kinds of things in the medical community now.
Massage therapists and even chiropractors, and you have to get a good chiropractor, because if you get a bad one, you can be in more trouble, because they manipulate your backbone. It's pretty dangerous, so you have to be careful.
And another thing, when we had our specialized terms that I really liked, when they were pointing out mechanical back pain, they also said you might have it through such habits as poor posture. And you know what? Your doctor will probably address that with you.
Mm-hmm.
How often are you sitting at a desk? How many hours at a time?
Get up and move
around. Are you getting around and moving?
Mm-hmm.
Are you going out for walks? They will address your whole physical being.
But you know, you can't do that when you've got the back pain. You've got to do that when you don't have the pain.
Mm-hmm.
But these therapies that we talked about here, that Marnesin, they're somewhat effective. I mean, they may not take care of it, but they will help. And also, they're very unlikely to cause harms like taking too much medicine. Isn't that true?
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So let's go on here to find out about even this non-prescription pain relievers. They're not risk-free. So let's find out more about that in the next column.
Even non-prescription pain relievers are not risk-free. Medicines like ibuprofen and naproxen can be helpful, but they can cause stomach inflammation and ulcers, as well as possible bleeding and even kidney damage, especially in the elderly. Muscle relaxants can be sedating and can interact with other common medications. Benzodiazepines and opiates not only can cause sedation, making it hard to think clearly and function normally, they are also addictive. Basically, for acute and subacute low back pain, the risks of these medications outweigh the benefits. Other medications, like acetaminophen, steroids, antidepressants, and anti-seizure medications, were not significantly helpful for acute and subacute low back pain at all.
And our next section here is talking about non-prescription pain relievers because, as we've mentioned earlier, people often take drugs for these problems that they haven't got from the doctor. Lois called that self-medicating.
Mm-hmm. And be dangerous.
Well, and this is the warning they're giving us here. And they mention in the first line two medications that are pretty common. The first one is pretty common everywhere. The second one seems to be more common in the United States. They're called ibuprofen and naproxen. And that's, I mean, other words you might use for those are things like acetaminophen or Tylenol or aspirin.
Excedrin.
Ibuprofen is Advil.
Yeah.
Acetaminophen
yeah.
is Tylenol. So it's what, you know, what you're used to.
So yeah, a lot of people take those.
Yeah, they sure do.
The reason they're mentioning ibuprofen is it sort of has a reputation for
right.
being better for, like, muscle trouble.
Okay.
Right? So
it
these
can be helpful, though.
Yeah, but, yeah, that's right. They're all useful drugs. But these ones, I guess the point is they're just available from a pharmacy. You don't need a doctor. You just go
no.
in and you buy
and sometimes you take too many of them, right?
Yeah, you buy a bottle off the shelf. And they say that they can cause stomach inflammation and ulcers, as well as possible bleeding.
Ooh,
and
that's
even
scary.
Kidney damage, especially oh. in the elderly. So there's this whole list of problems. And you won't likely have those kinds of problems if you just take one because you
right.
have a headache.
Right.
But if you have back pain, and you're taking a couple a day for like 6 months or a year
sure. exactly.
because you're just trying to get rid of the pain, then you might find yourself with some of these problems.
And, you know, when we get older, especially once we're past the age of 65, we might be on more prescriptions. So all of these over-the-counter drugs, you either check with your family doctor or your pharmacist to see if you can take them along with your prescription medication.
Well, that's what it says here, that they can make you feel better, but they also interact with these other medications. So if you're taking one that the doctor gave you and then you're taking extra ones, it's just they interact and that can really cause damage, right?
Yeah, that's right. And that's kind of the warning that you're, especially they say for the muscle relaxants.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're given the name of a drug, benzodiazepine. So I'll say that a little more quickly.
That's pretty long.
Benzodiazepine. That's
I'm
right.
familiar with it.
Yeah.
And opiate opiates, pardon me, and that's actually what I've referred to as the opioid crisis. So these opiates.
Now, is that that's not a certain brand name. It's just that means that certain drugs
it's
have
a,
that.
It's a kind of drug, like
type
a family
of, drug.
Of drugs. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And they give a list of problems that are associated with those drugs, too. They say sedation, which means you're made really tired, like you kind of can't stay awake, can't function properly.
It makes it hard to think clearly. Right.
Yeah, and function normally. So you basically can't focus because you're falling asleep.
Better not drive, right?
You know, and they usually put you on medications like this if you've had to have back surgery, which people do have to have, mm-hmm. or if you've had to have maybe shoulder therapy or surgery. So you have to be careful of these prescription
yeah,
drugs.
Yeah, but they're addictive, and nobody wants to take things that are addictive. Pretty soon you just have to have them. That's terrible.
That's right. And so they go on to say, basically, for acute and subacute low back pain, the risks of these medications outweigh the benefits. And so when you're outweighing something, it's like you're taking a scale and you're comparing the two things. And you've decided that in this case, the benefit you get from taking the drug is not as good as the possible risks that could come from taking the drug.
So that's a good warning to everybody, see. But there are a lot of other medications involved here, too.
Yeah, and now we've mentioned a couple of these when we were talking about ibuprofen and naproxen in mm-hmm. the first line. But they say other medications like acetaminophen, steroids, antidepressants, and anti-seizure medications were not significantly helpful for acute or subacute low back pain at all. So some of those drugs we mentioned when we were first talking about painkillers actually don't help with back pain mm-hmm. at all.
So don't ask your doctor to give you a steroid shot if you've got that back pain. It might not help, right?
Yeah.
Right, and this is back pain not obviously from our article, our two-day article, from surgery. So you really need to talk things over with your family doctor.
Well, there's a lot of names here, and you might not be able to memorize them, but you might keep this lesson on hand and underline some of those and look it up and see if you're using those things. Underline the words and be very careful that you don't get, you know, that you are actually you have to have those drugs because they're not good for you, right?
Yeah.
Well, and you know, it's good that on page 14, we do have medical terms listed. So on page 14 there, that'll really help our listeners to see the medical terms. I know it's already helped me.
Right. And remember that the word addictive is very bad. Some people get addicted to cigarettes or to liquor or drugs or whatever. When you're addictive, it means you have to have it, even if it doesn't help you, even if it hurts your body. So
even
don't get addicted to anything.
Even chocolate and ice cream,
oh,
some
yeah,
people
don't get
addicted to.
That's right. Okay, so let's go and read the last paragraph.
Here's what the study couldn't tell us. The study was missing a few potentially helpful low-risk medicines. Topicals, such as the lidocaine patch or capsaicin ointment, were not included, which is a shame, as these can provide relief for some people and carry little risk. I'd also be interested to know if over-the-counter topical therapies containing menthol and camphor are better than a placebo for low back pain.
Now, this whole study that they're talking about here, that they've gone through and told us all about these things, that we're missing a few things that possibly or potentially could be helpful, and they're called low-risk medicines. They're not high-risk like the other ones. And some of them are what we call topicals, things that you put on the outside that you don't take inside, like you don't eat the pills, right?
Right. Topical is in our specialized term because you will hear this from your medical team. It's called a medical product that is applied to a part of the body, especially the skin. So in some cases, when you have lower back pain, so it's a lower part of your back, oftentimes a topical in this case, oftentimes it's a topical ointment that will work. And I know for myself, I have used a strong topical ointment that I can just buy from the pharmacist. I don't need a prescription for. And in my case, I've used Raleigh's medicated ointment or Watkins medicated ointment, and it has really worked for dealing with my lower back pain, and oftentimes after maybe a week actually has eliminated it.
Yeah.
That's good to know.
Well, and the drugs they mention here, the topical drugs, are lidocaine patch, and lidocaine is the drug that the dentist might use when you are having a cavity done or your tooth fixed. And the other one is a capsaicin ointment, and they didn't include these, and the doctor says that's a shame because these can provide relief for some people and carry little risk. So
that means it's too bad.
Yeah, it's too bad they weren't included because she thinks they might have been worth checking out. They might be helpful.
I would totally agree. I think I know quite a few people who use some type of topical ointment on their knee problems. They have problems with their knees, and it really works effectively.
Well, she said she'd be interested to know about if this over-the-counter topical therapies containing what they call menthol and camphor, are they better than what these other things are? What are the other things?
Well, the word they use is placebo, and a placebo is a fake medicine that they use during a research study to see if just thinking you're taking a medicine will have an effect. It's interesting because these drugs they mention, menthol and camphor, they're not really drugs, but those are probably of interest to a lot of our listeners because you find them in things like green oil and tiger balm that people in Asia really like.
Right, that's right. Well, some of these patches are good, but I know I've tried some on different times, but sometimes you might be allergic to them too if your skin is sensitive and so make your skin itch. So you have to be careful. Just try them and see if they work for you, right?
Right. And, you know, I just think there's a way of dealing with this back pain and that we won't always have to suffer and it won't return.
That's right. So we hope that this has been, even though it might be difficult in the medical terms are listed here, as we said, on page 14. But just think about the fact that we do try to get rid of the pain, but don't do anything that you might become addictive to, because that will be very hard to get over your addiction. And we read about many famous people in the world that take too many of these things and they die from it.
Yes.
You know, singers and people like that. So don't get on anything that's addictive. But just try to help deal with these kind of things that we have. And I'm sure that they'll keep finding out more ways to help us. Don't you think so?
I really do. And this has been such an informative article on health. I believe it will be a good opportunity for our own listeners to get educated in this area.
Okay. And come back tomorrow.
For another lesson, different type. We'll see you then.
That's right.
Goodbye, everyone.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.